Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of the grave and of death. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Gospel according to the Evangelist Luke from chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." These are the words. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, the living one who died and rose again to deliver us from death, fell redeemed in his precious blood. What can we learn from these? Well, seriously, Pastor, it's a bunch of empty wrappers. There's no lesson to be learned, except perhaps get to the candy dish before it's all gone. Well, they are empty wrappers, but they all had something in them at one point, didn't they? And in fact, we can tell what each of the wrappers had in them because it says on the wrapper what was inside of it. Okay, fine. It once had tasty candy in it, but now it's a bunch of nothing. What can we learn from that? So, what can we learn from this? Seriously, Pastor? Someone left their clothes lying around. Is the lesson, put your clothes away? Maybe fold them? Well, these clothes have obviously been worn by someone, but they're no longer being worn. I suppose we could learn something about the person or persons who wore these clothes based on their size, whether they were male or female. But we really can't learn a lot about the person who wore these clothes from the clothes themselves. What can we learn from this? It's a tomb that appears to be empty. It appears to have had someone in it, but it no longer does. It's empty. But there's a message for us in the empty tomb. It's a message that we need to hear and we need to understand, because one day each one of us will be laid to rest in a grave. We need to know who was in the tomb and why it's important that it's empty. Therefore, on this joyful day, we need to follow the women as they make their way to the tomb, hands full of aromatic oils. They don't know it's empty yet, but they're about to find out. We know why it's empty. In fact, it's why we're here every Sunday. If it were not for the resurrection of Jesus, we would not celebrate his birth, or his living, or his dying. It's why our hearts are lifted up every Easter Sunday. If the tomb were not empty, if it still contained the body, the bones of one Jesus of Nazareth, then there would be no real lasting joy today or any day. Then your faith would be empty and your confidence would be in a corpse, where less of a corpse now. Your sins would still be yours, and you would still have to face the judgment in them. Then the words and promises of Jesus would be as empty as those of a Nostradamus. And then our loved ones who died believing in Jesus would have perished. But the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty, and the scriptures assure us it's because he lives. This is one of those rare cases where empty is not a disappointment. It's different with the empty candy wrappers and other empty things, an empty refrigerator. But the empty tomb is something far greater. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For Christ has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus' glorious resurrection is proof positive that death has been eliminated. There is no sorrow at the tomb of Christ or at the grave of those who die trusting in him. May God the Holy Spirit bless and increase our joy and confidence in him through these words. To that end we pray. Sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Exactly where did they bury Jesus? Well, the Gospel of John tells us that the tomb where Jesus' body was laid was near the place where he was executed. It also reveals that it was a new tomb that had been hewn out of the rock in which no one had yet been laid. And it's further revealed that it belonged to a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. Who was Joseph of Arimathea? Well, the Gospel of Luke tells us that he was a prominent council member, a member of the Sanhedrin, the body that condemned Jesus and handed him over to Pontius Pilate. But the Gospel writers also reveal that he did not agree with their decision. Why did they bury Jesus in Joseph's tomb? Well, when Jesus died at 3 p.m. on Good Friday, it left just 3 hours to bury Jesus. Saturday was the Sabbath, one of the biggest festivals of the year. And so Friday was considered the preparation day before the Passover. And they viewed the Sabbath as beginning at 6 p.m. on Friday evening. That left Joseph and Nicodemus just 3 hours to lay Jesus' body to rest. When Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate to ask permission to bury Jesus' body, he had very little time. Normally, they buried their dead just like we do, in a hole in the ground. But in burying Jesus in the tomb of a rich man, the word of God given to Isaiah, perhaps 800 years beforehand, was fulfilled. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And so Nicodemus, another prominent council member, joined Joseph, bringing about 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. And they hurriedly began the process of burial. They coated the strips of linen, think of like a strip that you'd wrap around a mummy, and they wrapped Jesus' body up, laying it to rest as best they could in 3 short hours. Then Joseph rolled a heavy stone against the door of the tomb, and they returned to their homes to rest on the Sabbath day. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary watched as these preparations were made, and they also returned to the places that they were staying. The traditional site of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea in Jerusalem is today called the Garden Tomb. It's located near the place called Gordon's Calvary, north-northwest of what is today the Dome of the Rock, an Islamic temple. We don't know that the Garden Tomb is the actual tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but we do know what actually took place at that tomb on the first day of the week following the Passover Sabbath. Even though the tomb had been sealed and was under guard since the Sabbath, in case Jesus' disciples turned into grave robbers, when the women arrived early Sunday morning, the tomb was already empty. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It was early in the morning, quite possibly before 6 a.m. They included Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and other women. They had brought with them aromatic oils to complete the embalming process. But they were concerned about the stone. The gospel writers tell us that they discussed who would roll away the stone from the door of the tomb on the way. But when they came in sight of the tomb, they saw that the stone was already rolled away. It was then that Mary Magdalene returned to tell Peter and John, but the other women looked inside the tomb. They found to their surprise and confusion that the body was gone. The tomb was empty. Well, actually, the tomb wasn't entirely empty. While the body was gone, the Word of God carefully describes what those women saw in Joseph's tomb. The same thing that Peter and John would see a short time later when they arrived at the tomb. We're told this is what they saw. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. The grave clothes that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had dipped in the spices and wrapped around Jesus' body were right there where they had been, but no body inside of them. And the cloth that had been wrapped around his head was folded up neatly in a place by itself, as if carefully set aside by someone who no longer had need of it. And there's one more thing that we may picture as remaining in the tomb: our sins. For according to the Apostle Peter, Christ took our sins upon his body on the cross, and they were nailed to the tree with him, and then buried in his tomb. They are like so many canceled checks, stored there forevermore, our debt paid in full. We have been set free of them, and by faith in Christ, we may daily rise to live godly lives of thanksgiving and praise. So it is written, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." But we can certainly understand why the women were perplexed, literally at a loss, uncertain. They obviously wondered where the body of Jesus had gone. I mean, corpses don't just get up and walk away. They must have wondered who and why someone would take away a dead man's remains. They were concerned, but they were about to become downright frightened. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. One moment the women were in the tomb alone, and the next they weren't. Two men stood there with them. In fact, the word translated "stood by" could also be rendered "appeared." These were not grave robbers caught red-handed, because they were dressed in dazzling, flashing like lightning, clothing. They appeared as young men, but it's obvious that they were not locals, but angels, otherworldly messengers sent from God. The women weren't the only ones confused that morning. So were the messengers, but for a different reason. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." The Bible tells us that the holy angels are beings created by God to serve him and to serve those who will inherit salvation. They are not to be thought of as mindless worker bees, indistinct beings, but they are very real beings who experience joy and sorrow. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who well knows the angels, says this about them: "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." But I can't help but wonder how often the angels are confused with our inability to connect the dots. God's holy messengers must often shake their heads and wonder what we're thinking, or if we're thinking at all. These angels had a single question for the women: why are you looking for a living man in a place of the dead? The evidence was there, was plain to see. The stone had been rolled away, the guards were gone, the body was missing, the grave clothes were intact, the face cloth not strewn on the floor, but folded up neatly by itself. Could they not see what the empty tomb meant? And then they expressed the reason why we rejoice today. He is not here, but has risen. So do we really understand what the empty tomb means? It means that what Jesus promises, he delivers. We can therefore count on every one of Christ's promises, including these, to comfort us in the face of death. How about this one? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. It means, the empty tomb does, that Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by God as full payment for sins. Because Jesus, our God-appointed substitute, was raised again that we might be declared not guilty, justified. That's not my opinion. That's what the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul to write to the Roman Christians, that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and raised again because of our justification. If in fact Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then there would be no pardon for sinners. There could not be. A dead Jesus would mean a death sentence for us all. As it is written, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that's why Easter Sunday isn't about spring or eggs or bunnies. It's about the empty tomb. It's about our Lord's resurrection. It was something those first disciples needed to remember and something that we dare never forget. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Jesus had told them beforehand exactly what would happen, but either they had simply forgotten or didn't believe it possible. Were they so shocked and confused by the revelation of his death that the promise of the resurrection seemed impossible? Was it all too amazing to accept? It's difficult to say. And frankly, it's not our concern why the disciples did or didn't react as they did. It is our concern that we continue to listen carefully to Christ's word and pray earnestly that the Spirit of God would keep us in faith. We have been gathered together as a congregation to encourage and comfort one another with God's word, not cliches. So let's read and study that word, that we may understand the depth and the height of Christ's love and share it with others. As we will sing shortly, Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave, Christ will recall me. Brighter scenes will then convince. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, for me he died. Hence will I to Jesus living, pure in heart and act abide, praise to him and glory giving. Freely God doth aid dispense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, to him the throne, high o'er heaven and earth is given. I shall go where he is gone, live and reign with him in heaven. God is faithful. Doubtings hence. This shall be my confidence. Amen.